And turn to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in your Bibles this evening. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in your Bibles tonight. Get all wired up here, good to go. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in your Bibles tonight. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." Father, I pray tonight that as we dive into the purpose of preaching, Lord, as we look at these few verses, I pray that you would give us, Lord, a discernment from your word. Father, I pray that we would be just not hearers of the word, but I pray that we'd also take these truths, Lord, and maybe apply it in our everyday life. And God, I pray you'd help me as I present this message tonight. I need your power, and I need your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we began the series here going through the book of 1 Timothy, and we talked about the problems that Timothy faced there as a pastor in Ephesus. And there as he entered the ministry, as he began to serve the Lord in that full-time capacity as pastor over that church in Ephesus, there were some false teachers that were coming along, and they were teaching false doctrine. And people were turning aside after vain janglings and fables. And we dealt with some of those last week and just some of the different things that Timothy faced as a preacher and as a minister of Almighty God. But as Paul comes to verse number 5, Paul says, Timothy, he said, let me remind you of something. He said, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Paul is contrasting, all right, here's the false teachers and verse number 3 and verse number 4. They're turning aside. They're not sticking to the word of God. Now, Timothy, you as a Bible-centered, gospel-centered preacher, here are some things that you need to follow as a good minister of Jesus Christ. And you know, the reality is, as I look out at this congregation, the reality is some of you in 5 years from now will be somewhere else. Some of you will be in California, maybe. Some of you might be retiring in Florida. Some of you might be in, Timbuktu, who knows where. But, you know, the reality is, as you go through the circle of life, many times a church is like a community. Man, people are moving in and out. And the reality is, and the importance is for us to understand what we need to look for as we would switch a church. Or some of you here, you've been visiting and you've been listening to the preaching of the Word of God. What should be the standard for choosing a right kind of church? What was Timothy to do as a godly preacher? Timothy was to preach the Word of God. And let me remind you tonight, Christian, it's not the rock concert that gets folks to church. It's not that builds the church. It's not the programs. It's not the entertainment. Though programs are fine, though, you know, sometimes we do come to church and we laugh and we do have a good time, the reality is God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And Paul says, Timothy, he said, let me remind you, your job as a good minister of Christ is to preach the whole counsel of God's word. What should Bible preaching look like? By way of introduction, let me say there are many misconceptions regarding preaching and the preacher or the pastor. Some pastors have soured the pulpit ministry by their immoral behaviors, lewd and crude language, their missing money ministry, and their private jets and grand vacation homes. Man, you turn on the television, and you see the Reverend Dollars on TV saying, "Oh, I need your money." Benny Hinn saying, "If you don't, you know, provide, you know, your millions of dollars, and I'm going to, you know, die." You know, all these TV preachers making their pleas for their money. Let me say, Bible preaching is not what you see on television. Bible preaching is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, like Nehemiah did in the book of Nehemiah. God expects expected Timothy to be a faithful preacher of the Word of God. So when it comes to preaching, when it comes to the ministry, what does God expect from Timothy? What does God expect from me as a pastor? For some of you that one day will be teaching, I think about Pastor Larry, he's going to be teaching Sunday school here the first Sunday in July. And what's his responsibility? Those of you, I think about Brother Eddie, if you preached a couple weeks ago, what is our responsibility in teaching Miss Larissa as you teach and in presenting the message of Jesus Christ? What was Timothy to focus on? Look in verse number 5. He said, now the end of the commandment is charity. And then he begins to describe out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. Let me say, first of all, this evening, Bible preaching is centered around love. Now, let me just say something. It's not this television lovey-dovey, let's all come together and hold hands and sing kumbaya. And it doesn't matter if we believe differently. It bothers me these groups that come together and everybody yokes up together. By the way, that the Bible talks about in Revelation, when the tribulation takes place, there's going to be a one-world religious order. And we see that taking place here in the United States, all across the world. Man, you got the Jehovah's Witness, you got the Mormons, you got the Catholics, you got the Adventists, you got some Baptists, and you got the Muslims, you got everybody coming together. They'll hold hands and they'll talk about God and they'll talk about loving each other and let's all get along. And it doesn't matter what your preferences are, quote unquote. It doesn't matter we can all just get along and unite together. Some of these talk show hosts on the radio, man, they've been saying that, boy, as Christians, we need to come together and we need to yoke up together and just be on the same team to take back America. Let me say, Glenn Beck is not, he's a Mormon, man. He's a Latter-day Saint. He's one of those. He doesn't have the saving faith in Christ. He talks a good talk, but he's never been born again. Hey, I'm not yoking up at one of his, concerts of coming together, because God expects me to stay true to the Word of God. And as you come here, Paul said to Timothy, he said, the end of the commandment is what? Is charity. Your preaching, my preaching, needs to be centered around love. Yeah, charity is that old word for love in the Bible days. And the reality is we need to love one another. I remember growing up, my mom would always tell me when I was 5 years old, she said, when I was 5, we had charity majors over our house. And my mom told me I was going to marry charity. I always hated that word charity, because my mom scarred me with that, all right? But it's a good biblical New Testament word. What is charity? 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Charity suffereth long in this kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether they be tongues, they shall fail. Whether they be prophecies, they shall pass away. But charity is ought to be the focus of our ministry and the focus of our life. As you study 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, Paul deals with them. Different gifts of the local church. And then he talks about tongues and healings and the gift of administration and the gift of preaching. And I mean, he just hammers away. Here's all these different gifts in the church. And what did he focus on? He said, let's focus on the main priority. And the main priority is not what major gift you think you have. The major priority is loving one another. The Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, talking about love, it said, let him minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So Bible-centered preaching is focused around charity. It's focused on love. What does love look like? What does the Bible say as a preacher we ought to do? We ought to, first of all, love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If I can get you tonight to leave this church loving Jesus more than you did when you came, and understand, I did my job as a preacher. If I can get you to love the Lord with a burning passion and a burning desire, and boy, I promote Jesus Christ, that
that's going to stir you to live a holy and a pure life. You say, preacher, what motivates you? The love of Christ constraineth us. We love Him because He first loved us. You will live for God the bar at the workplace because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't live for God to please your. You won't live for God at the workplace because your wife told you to. You're not going to do it because your boss expects you to. But no, you're going to live for God and serve God because you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every time I read my Bible, I need to fall more in love with the author that wrote the Bible. The purpose of my life is not to fulfill a checklist of duties and responsibilities, but it's to love the one that created me for His glory. Hey, I wonder tonight, are you focused upon loving the Lord Jesus Christ? I think about my wife and our relationship. You know, if I was to go through my life and I was to go through and do the checklist, you know? Well, you know, I got up and I went to work and I paid the bills and I did this and I did this and I did this. And it was a checklist in our marriage, and she went through and she did her checklist, and there was no love and there was no relationship. Understand, we would have a struggling marriage if it was all about checklist. You know, there are a lot of Christians that struggle in their walk with God, and they're frustrated and many times drop out of church because they've been taught a checklist of what to do instead of falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, you may look like the greatest Christian in the world, but if you don't love God, if you don't serve God out of a pure heart and a holy heart that's in tune to God, you'd miss the boat. Man, I grew up in a church where it was a lovey-dovey come-together kind of church, but I remember the school I went to from third grade to fifth grade, they were against everything. I'm talking about, man, if your hair was just, you know, hanging, touched your ears, man, they would get up and they'd rip your face off. I'm talking about, I remember one time the principal came to our classroom and he just ripped our hides off because of some small, minute little thing that took place at recess. I mean, just made us feel like little, you know, that big, you know, in fifth grade. I mean, just was mean and brutal about it. One thing about that school and that church, man, they had about 200 in their Christian school, but most of them aren't even in church today. Why? Because they knew how to fulfill the checklist. They knew how to put on the show, but they did not have a love and a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, that's the problem. I struggle with that balance of, you know, you look at some of these churches and boy, all they are is love, 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 and they don't stand up and say, this is the way, walk you there. And you see, God says, love me, but God says, be holy because I'm holy. God says, work out your own salvation. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. A love for Jesus Christ will promote a separation from the world. We got it mixed up in our churches, and we got it mixed up in our religious order of the day where some church is all about love. And boy, don't offend anybody. And then you got some that will rip your hide off. It's a balance of loving Jesus and also living for the Lord Jesus Christ in a holy and pure way. And so Paul says, Timothy, he said, as a preacher of the gospel, the end of the commandment is charity. We are to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not only are we to love the Lord, but number two, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Bible preaching focuses on, hey, you have a right relationship with God, and you make sure you have a right relationship with others. I think about the story that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan. You remember that story, how there was that man that was going down, a Jew. He left Jerusalem, going to Jericho, going down the Jericho road, and those thieves met him, beat him up, man, left him for dead, right? And here came by that religious, you know, that Pharisee, right? And boy, he saw him lying, and he walked on the other way, didn't have anything to do with him. Then there came another religious man, and he saw him lying there, and he observed him, and he kept on walking his way. And then there came that Samaritan, right? That Samaritan was a half-breed. Man, the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. They hated the Samaritans. Yet that Samaritan was a good neighbor. Why? Because he had compassion on that man. He helped him out. He bound up his wounds. He put the oil in the wounds. And man, he went to the inn, paid for the hospital bill. He was a good neighbor. Why? Because he was willing to look upon and have compassion for that neighbor. I wonder tonight, do you have a right relationship with others? Bible preaching focuses on loving God, but also loving our community. Listen, we're going to impact our community as we love the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we ought to be right with people. The Bible says that in 1 Timothy 2:2 that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Galatians 6 verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those that are of the household of faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, be at peace among yourselves. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Matthew 5 verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. 1 Peter 3:11, let him eschew evil, stay away from evil, and let him seek peace and ensue it. What does God want from me? He wants me to love him and love others, seeking their peace, seeking to be right with others. Bible preaching focuses on charity. We're to love God. We're to love our neighbor. We're to love not the world. That's the other thing that love is for. We're to stay away from the world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Colossians 3 verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. So Bible preaching is centered around charity in verse 5. It says the end of the commandment is charity. All right, so we see it's based on charity. And then by the way, how many of you were English, loved English growing up? Miss Janice, you did? Mom, you did? Oh boy. Josiah, you like English? Any English major? Miss Larice loves it. Was anybody an English major or minor in college? All right, good. I'm glad that you guys are normal then, all right? And we can use bad language. I don't get corrected for it. But look down in verse number 5. You see that the end of the commandment is. That's the verb, right? And is charity. That's the direct. Remember that? Remember when you used to you diagram sentences? Did you guys diagram growing up? You know what I'm saying? You got the subject, the verb, the direct object, and then the indirect objects and all the other things underneath it. All right, so the verb is what, you know, this is what it's focused on. It's focused on charity, and then everything else in verse number 5 is describing what's being preached. It's charity. Notice that, out of a pure heart. So if we have the right kind of love, we're focused on that love, and so it's focused on a pure heart. Charity is focused. Bible preaching not only is centered around love, but number 2, Bible preaching focuses on the heart, out of a pure heart. Bible preaching aims for the heart. It does not aim for the head. It does not aim for. There are many great Bible teachers out there. I was talking to a man at Starbucks. You said, well, I thought you went to Dunkin' Donuts all the time. Well, I went to Starbucks. I don't. Well, long story, but I went to Starbucks. And the man is over, he went to West Point. And so I guess that means he's pretty big time at Redstone. Or I don't know, but he carried himself like that. And I noticed he had really cool, shiny shoes. I said, how do you get shiny shoes like that? He said, man, these things are fake. And then he started telling me how to get shiny shoes. I said, man, it sounds hard. I think I'll get fake ones. But we started to talk about where he's been at, where he goes to church. And he said, Pastor, he said, just moved from California. And he said, I went to Robbie Zacharias' church out there in California. He's a great Bible teacher. And now I love, if I'm driving down the road, I'll get him on the radio or whatever. He'll give you some great Bible truths. There are some tremendous Bible teachers that are out there. One of my favorite commentators is Mr. Phillips, and he was out of North Carolina. Solid, give you some truth. There's a difference between teaching and preaching and just filling somebody's head with knowledge. And I'm afraid that's what's taking place in our pulpits across America. Folks are coming to church and they're getting a big old head filled with Bible knowledge, but they're not preaching a pure heart. You know what I'm talking about? They're preaching, here's education. And by the way, the difference between preaching and teaching is this. Teaching says, here's the information. Right? Those of you teachers, you know, your students are taking a test, so here's the information that you need to know to be on the test. And so we get ahead for that, right? But Bible preaching says not only here is the information, but here's how you apply it in your heart and you make application. What's going to last? It's not a bunch of head knowledge. Man, I went to college 10 years ago. Man, I don't remember most of what I learned, right? But you know what I do remember? I do remember those fiery chapels where men of God would stand up and just preach the Word of God. Why? Because, yes, I was in the classroom for 5 hours a day going through Bible college, getting 4 years of Bible degree, but it was the preaching that really got a hold of my heart. Man, Dr. Childs, many times in class, sometimes he'd get going. And then this old geezer, man, that had dentures, he'd get going preaching away. And, man, those dentures would go flying through the room. It's hysterical, you know? But I remember that. Why? Because he get off from teaching to preaching. Hey, preaching is, here's the truth. Now let's apply it into our life. And so Paul says, Timothy, hey, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. It focused on a pure heart. Let me say, it did not focus on a fat heart. Psalms 119:70 says, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in my law. He did not focus on a hardened heart. Hebrews 3:7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Not on a pharisaical phony heart. But what was the Lord focused on? What was Timothy to be focused on as a preacher? He was to be focused on getting the folks that listened to him to be pure in their heart with God. The Bible says in Psalm 26:2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. Hey, God wants us to have a tried heart. It says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God wants me to have a clean heart. It says in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart, not full of hypocrisy, but with a true heart. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart. God wants me to have a pure heart. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youth for us, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. What does Bible preaching focus on? It focuses on a pure heart. You know what I want, my desire is when I enter the pulpit? It's for you to be able to heed that verse where the Bible says, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. My desire as I come tonight to preach and declare the Word of God is that you would leave saying, you know what? There's nothing between my soul and the Savior. My hands are pure. My hands are clean. I am right with God. I want each message I preach to be focused upon the heart, that you would have a pure heart to walk with God. That's what Bible preaching. And listen, if one day God leads you away from here and you move out of here and boy, you're living in Washington State, you better find a church where the man of God stands up and he preaches, not to your head, but he preaches to your heart to live a pure life for Jesus Christ. Bible preaching focuses on charity out of a pure heart, but then it goes on, and of a good conscience. You know, that's a unique phrasing, a good conscience. What exactly was he meaning? What exactly is a good conscience? It's a pure conscience. It's a conscience that is void of offense. That's settled in that place where they're right with God. I love what the Bible says. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Bible preaching doesn't focus on all these things you can't do. Bible preaching focuses on, hey, this is what we get to do because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when growing up, my dad would be like, you know, we had some unique rules in our home, as I'm sure you probably did growing up. And one of the things that we always had to do, we always had to go to church. Every service, when the church doors were open, if we were in town, we had to go to church. And I remember sometimes, man, the Patriots were playing. By the way, it's not even fair. I talk about Patriots and football because I'm a big New England Patriots fan. And you guys are, you know, Auburn, Alabama fans. It's just not fair because they play on Saturday, right? And so you're always in church and you're, you know, game's over. You can get prayed up and ready for church. But man, I tell you what, it would bug me when the Patriots were 2 minutes left in the game and Dad'd be like, all right, we're going to church, you know. And we had to turn on those, you know, kids songs, sing it, going to church. I didn't know what the score was till after the game. But I remember we would be like, oh, we have to go to church. My dad'd be like, no, man, you don't have to. You get to go to church. What was my dad doing? He was reprogramming us. It's not, well, I can't do it. No, you get to be under preaching. I don't know. I still feel grumpy about that. But you know, Bible preaching focuses on a pure conscience, free from guilt, because we are right with God. In verse 3 and 4 and verse 6 onward, Paul dealt with the false teachers who ruled by guilt. Man, they would get up and they would have their list of do's and don'ts. But listen, as a Christian, I am free from the guilt of sin. I'm free from that bondage. I jotted these things out, four different things. It says, Muslims look for people to practice jihad with the promise of 70 virgins when they die. I put, side note, plus mother-in-laws. So there's no way I'd be a jihadist, all right? Just let you know about that. They're looking. What are they looking for? You pray for my mother-in-law's coming in, and she should be here Wednesday night. She's probably coming in right now. Really need extra prayer this week.
That's why I'm all busy tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. But anyway, I love my mother-in-law. You pray for me. She's doing really well. But Muslims look for people to practice jihad with the promise of 70 virtues. Buddhist monks give up everything to achieve nirvana. I got this off of Google about nirvana. Nirvana is achieved. And by the way, you guys know what I'm talking about, nirvana? You know, the Buddhist. I mean, by the way, let me just, side note, can I take a little rabbit trail? That's really becoming big today. And especially with these, let me just warn you, especially with these colored runs that are out there. I mean, everybody's going and they're wearing these white shirts and they're all these dyes are getting thrown at them. You better research those before you go participate in a colored run. It's steeped in Buddhism. And man, you start with a white shirt and it signifies your new birth. It's amazing to me how all these colored runs start in April, right? April, May, springtime. And that's exactly what it's a very demonic run. It has a demonic history. And you better make sure you do your research before you go do these colored runs. I'm concerned with some of these churches that are doing them because they really haven't done the research. Just check it out. Just Google it. What's the origin of color runs? And I promise you that God will use that in your life. But that was just a little side note. But this is what nirvana is. Nirvana is achieving. Achieving nirvana requires determination and a whole lifetime of dedication. In Buddhism, the Noble Eightfold Path is the way to the essence of suffering. If you're going to achieve nirvana, you know what it requires? It requires devotion and a whole lifetime of dedication. Man, that's what the Buddhist Catholic nuns are willing to give up all like Mother Teresa to have years cut off their stay in purgatory. The Amish and the Mennonite teach that you have to give up all worldly goods. Deodorant, I'm for deodorant. Air condition, I'm for it. Television, I like watching baseball and football. I mean, they talk about giving it all up. Why? So that way they can be right with God. And let me say this. Some Baptists think that they have to live with everything right to be right, everything in order to be right with God. And that is why there are some sitting here tonight that will split hell wide open because you look good on the outside, but inside you've never been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does Bible preaching focus on? It focuses on that message. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, because I am a new man and my life is hid with Christ in God. My salvation is not based upon my works, and it does not keep me saved. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. My works simply just prove that my faith, prove my faith and love for God. You know, I've heard it preached, well, if you're not in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, soul winning, best ministry, all these different things, then bless God, then you're not right with God. No. Now, you know why I go to church? Because I love God. Because not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. You know why I want to tell people about Jesus Christ? Because I've been commissioned. I'm an ambassador. That's my job as an ambassador. I get to tell people about Jesus Christ. I get to tell them how they can avoid the flames of hell and enjoy walking on a street of gold and hanging out with Jesus and eating the fruit of the tree of life and having a big old mansion built by Jesus Himself. Hey, I get to tell folks how to avoid destruction and how to enjoy heaven. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, my works simply prove my love for God. I'm not under a list of checklists. I've got to do this. No, as I preach and as I teach and as I love Jesus, boy, I'm focused on having a good conscience. What does Bible preaching focus on? It focuses upon love, centered around love, loving God with all our heart, loving our neighbor as ourselves, love not the world. It focuses on a pure heart. It focuses on a pure conscience. But notice there in verse number 5 again, it says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 5, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Twice, Paul used that word unfeigned to Timothy. And that word is the word we get without hypocrisy. He was not a hypocrite. He was the real thing. Let me say, child of God, Bible preaching focuses on a pure faith, not a fake faith. Not a hypocritical faith. Not you come to church on Sunday morning and live another way Sunday night. I just was talking to my brother yesterday. He's up in the Chicago area. And he said, we talked for about 5 minutes or so. And he said, Steve, he said, can I just talk to you for a second? I said, sure, man. I said, what's going on, Drew? He said, and his youth pastor is a dear friend of mine. And we would go, and whenever I was in the area, I'd get together with him. We go eat, have a great time, and he said, you know, Pastor Blank is not the youth pastor anymore.
I said, what happened? He said, just got arrested. And messed up. Teenage girls in his youth group. And he's going to jail. And you know, it just broke my heart. And I see it. You turn the television on, you see pastors. You see youth leaders. You see youth workers. You see, and by the way, we see it everywhere, all right? It's just not in the pulpit. But whenever a minister or pastor does it, it's like the news takes it and runs with it, and it's a big news. But you know, the problem with this youth pastor is he could preach a dynamic message, but his heart and his practice was living a life full of hypocrisy. You know, I can stand up and I can preach against pornography, but you know what? If I'm looking at pornography, boy, I'm just a hypocrite. You know, I can stand up and preach against bitterness, and if I'm bitter, I'm just a hypocrite. And you know, it's just a matter of time before God will expose our sin. And so Paul said to Timothy, he said, Timothy, as a preacher, you know what you need to do? First of all, you need to live that pure life. You need to make sure that, Paul said in verse 5 of chapter 2, or 2 Timothy, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, I've watched your life all these years. You've got the real faith. It's got to be real. Listen, it's got to be real in me before I can preach it with passion. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be, I mean, it's got to be real. But Paul said Bible preaching focuses on a pure faith, a faith that is without hypocrisy. I love this story. It was during one of his political campaigns, a delegation called on Theodore Roosevelt at his home in Oyster Bay, Long Island. The president met them with his coat off and his sleeves rolled up. He said, "Ah, gentlemen," he said, "come down to the barn and we will talk while we do some work." At the barn, Roosevelt picked up a pitchfork and looked around for the hay. Then he called out, "Johnny, where's all the hay?" "Sorry, sir," Johnny called down from the hayloft. "I ain't had time to toss it back down again after you pitched it up while the Iowa folks were here." You know, I read that, man, that's so funny. You know, politicians, you know? Hey, let's go to work. No, you're not really working. You're just a politician trying to get votes, right? But Paul said, Timothy, you better make sure Bible preaching is focused on that pure heart. And so he's verse number 5, powerful message. But notice in verse number 6 as it goes on, and I notice the time here, we've been gone long, but notice just two more thoughts here. It says in verse number 6, from which some, so Timothy, verse 5, that's you preaching, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor where they affirm. Paul said, let me just tell you something, Timothy. You're a preacher. You're going forward for God. I've hit in verse number 4 about those false teachers and the pure preaching which you're a part of, Timothy. He said, let me just warn you of something. He said, there are some that have swerved. There are some that have missed the mark. You know, swerving, you know, driving down the road. I was talking to Benny come Sunday morning, sitting in the back. He said, I almost got in an accident with my new motorcycle. Well, it's a tricycle. He said, man, I was driving around down the road, and he said, man, here come a car, passed out the other one. And he said, it's getting ready to swing in my lane. He said, I blared the horn, and he swerved and he hit the car behind him. You know, swerving is what? You're driving down the road, and you see a deer walking down in front of you, so you try to avoid it, right? Swerving, getting off course, hitting our path. Paul said, Timothy, there are some that have swerved. They've gotten off course. And instead of staying true to Bible preaching, instead of staying true to where God would have them to be, they've gotten off course. Why? Verse number 6. They've swerved, having turned aside into vain janglings. That's really stories. And unfortunately, in the 10 years we tried, 10 years in ministry, I've seen some good, solid Bible preachers that were making an impact for God, they've swerved. And they are now more storytelling kind of preachers or more educational preachers instead of being the Bible preachers that they know God's called them to be. But he says in verse number 7, here's the reason why. Desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor where they affirm. They long for a position instead of having power with God. They long for the numbers. They long for the fame. They wanted their picture to be in a periodical. They wanted to be the doctor of Reverend so-and-so. They wanted to be some highfalutin, well-known keynote speaker that everybody would faint and fawn over. And Paul says, Timothy, it does not matter what the praise of men is. It does not matter if you got 50 honorary doctorates hanging on your wall from all these institutions. It doesn't matter if you are the recognized keynote speaker and everybody's like, ooh, what a great preacher you are. Timothy, it does not matter. You've got to focus as a Bible preacher to be hammered down. You're sticking true to the Word of God. And can I say tonight, child of God, church, my desire and my commitment as a preacher is to stay true to the Word of God. I don't care what society dictates. I don't care what may surround us. As a church, Huntsville Bible Baptist Church, we're going to stay focused on preaching the Word with love, We're going to preach the word that's focused on a pure heart, that's focused on a pure conscience, that's focused on a pure faith, and we are not going to get sidetracked and swerving, going some other way to try to attract numbers to get people to come here. If God doesn't build his church through Bible preaching, then you know what? Let's just turn the lights off. Let's sell the property and go home. Because you know what? We're not going to have a social club. This church is not going to be, let's all come together and put on a fake smile and let's just go through. No, listen, I would rather have a pure church meeting in a house than have a church full of hypocrisy and a bunch of Christians playing the game. Hey, this is not a social club. If we want a social club, let's go to the golf course. This is a church, and we've come to hear the truth of God's word. And so Paul says, Timothy, as a preacher, as a man of God preaching from the pulpit, you better make sure that you're preaching the word as God has commanded you to preach it. Some big responsibilities, but I'll tell you what, folks, I'm fired up. I hope that helped you tonight, and hope that gave you a little vision of this is where we're sticking to. And a couple months ago when we had the business meeting, we talked about some things we were going to focus on. We're going to focus on Bible preaching. We're going to focus on people, seeing souls saved. We're going to focus on a passion, one for another. We're committed. And boy, you know what? That's exactly it. We're focusing on preaching. You can change, you can fix the music. You can fix the programs. You can get all these other things. But listen, the main thing has got to be Jesus Christ and Bible preaching. And God's going to do all the other things in his will and in his time and his way. So I hope that helped you tonight. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for these truths tonight. Lord, I thank you for using it in my life. And I know, Lord, it's a lot of times when I preach, Lord, you give me a message, and Lord, you give it to me, but you also give it to your people. Lord, this message really was for me tonight. This is as a pastor and as a preacher, this is what I need to be focused on, and I thank you for that. But I pray your people would also take these truths, and Lord, one day if you move them to Michigan, Lord, if you move them to Florida, if they move away, God, I pray that they would make sure they find a church that is grounded and based upon Bible preaching, focused on loving you, loving our neighbors, Lord, love not the world, focused upon a pure heart, a good conscience, a pure faith. Father, we need to be reminded of that, and I thank you for that opportunity tonight to again remind us of what we ought to do as believers. And so now, as we go home, Lord, I pray we make an impact for you. God, I pray you keep us pure as a church. Lord, I know Satan's out there and he's attacking our homes. He's attacking our thoughts. He's attacking, just hammering us, Lord. I pray that you would just move in our church, purify us. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen our marriages. I pray that you would allow us to let our faith shine for you. God, we need your help tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.